Alex Jones Show, Sunday Night Live here on InfoWars. I'm your guest host, Royce White. I'm in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. And we're obviously talking about Venezuela, a huge inflection point in this nation's history. And I got to say it, you know, we're optimistic that we can save the republic, but I kind of think we're too soft. I just think we're too soft. Through and through, you know, pound for pound, per capita, we're just too soft. We are soft. We across the board, we're soft. The Republican Party is a great example of it. We talk about conservatism and grit and toughness and rugged individualism and the Constitution and our rights, but we let the Democrats violate our rights every single day. We let them circumvent the Constitution every single day. We almost let them wage lawfare on President Trump, and we sat by on our hands. If it wasn't for the attorneys that gave their time and fought against the machine, President Trump would be sitting in a prison cell right now today for the rest of his life, and Kamala Harris would be president. That's the reality of this country. That's where we actually are. Not where we want to be, where we actually are. And now we come to it. President Trump's in office, and we're not even wise enough to understand the difference between going to Iraq and going to Venezuela. Geographic location is the difference. The house next door is not the same as the house around the corner, not the same as the house seven blocks down, not the same as the house across town, not the same as the house two states over. See, but if we had good Christian communities, we would be able to understand location in a more Christian way. The order of charity is that which is most local to us, the order of priority. When we say charity, the order of priority is that which is most local to us. The natural order is God to man, to woman, to child. The great Saint Thomas Aquinas says, man can have peace when he surrenders his passions to his reason and his reason to God. Then he can have peace within himself. Then he can start to have peace with everyone else or anyone else if it can be possible, if it can be achieved. The great Saint Thomas Aquinas, Catholic theologian, hitter. It's a comment about the order and sphere of priority. So to go from a radical globalist agenda to an America First agenda, you have to shrink the sphere of priority. The problem with it is we weren't just a radical globalist fanatic. We weren't just a fan. We were intimately involved, like the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire's problem wasn't that their empire was too big. It was where they chose to place their priorities. They were off in Egypt, trying to defend outposts in Egypt. When the hordes of the Visigoths and all these other people were at their door, there weren't enough Roman legions to stop the hordes at their gate. At their door. They were spread too thin. America's problem isn't that we have a great military, a well-funded military, a very technologically sophisticated military. That's not America's problem. America's problem is that we are strategically, quote unquote, strategically positioned all around the world to preserve the post-World War II Democrat international rules-based order for the globalist agenda. We are the rent-a-cops for a foreign policy that does not benefit us. That's the problem with the American military's use. That's the problem. The problem is we are a reverse vassal empire. That's the problem. We're changing that. We're about to change it. We better demand that we change it, but we better be real about what that means. All these people, oh, you don't need the oil. You must ride a horse. You must ride a horse and buggy, buddy. Oh, we're going to need some oil. We'll be right back on the other side of the break. Stay tuned.
RFK Jr. shocked many when he sat down for a meal with Fox's Sean Hannity. The pair dined at fast food chain Steak and Shake, eating burgers and fries in a bid to highlight the chain's switch to frying their food in beef tallow, which is a healthier alternative to traditionally used seed oils.
I am so excited. After over a year, we have the highest quality private labeled beef tallow out there. You've heard RFK Jr. rave about it, the health effects, how good it is. This sucker is boom heavy. This is high quality. It is very competitively priced, and it funds this whole operation. It is optimal human beef tallow, grass-fed from thealexjonesstore.com. It is night and day compared to all these other fats and all these trans fats and all of the seed oils that are so toxic, especially when you heat them. Not this. It is so good. It is now available, discounted, at thealexjonesstore.com.
Listening to an Infowars.com frontline report. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Welcome back to the Royce White Show. It's not the Royce White Show. We're here on the Alex Jones Show, Sunday Night Live, Infowars. I'm your guest host, Royce White. I'm in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. I could talk about Somali fraud, but I did last Sunday. Somali fraud as bad as ever. And we have to deal with the things at home. Don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong at all. The pedophiles on the Epstein list, the people who have undermined our elections, Dr. Fauci, Bill Gates, the Somalis who committed the fraud here in Minnesota, the Democrats who the fraud was committed under their watch. Oh, there should be investigations and there should be charges brought up on the people right here at home. Don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. But we have to do both things at the same time. We have to deal with our problems at home and we have to start to shrink the sphere of priority. Like I was saying before the break, the problem is the sphere of priority wasn't just in one direction. It's not just that we were sending money off to a military outpost a world away. It's not that we were sending our troops to a military outpost a world away. It's that we created a reverse vassal state, a reverse vassal empire. In a vassal empire, the small country pays tribute to the big country for protection. We're going to pay tribute, and if we ever have problems with one of our neighbors, or let's say a bigger kingdom that wants to invade, we can call upon you for military support. That's a vassal state. That's a vassal empire. We have a reverse vassal empire. We pay everybody else to protect them. And the only reason we do that is so that your political and corporate elite can steal more money from you. It's a way to justify stealing more tax money from you. Even furthermore, the problem with that is the tax money is then spent, printed into debt, only to leave you with an inflated and depreciated dollar where you don't get any of the benefits. See, there's such a thing as good debt. There is such a thing as good debt. Good debt is when it's invested into any business that's going to give you a reasonable return at a reasonable rate in a reasonable amount of time. You can have good debt. The entire real estate industry is built on what they call good debt. The problem with our $38 trillion in debt is that it's going to build up everybody else, namely our enemies, namely the Chinese Communist Party. And for some strange reason, we've become so obsessed with Israel, and nobody's a bigger critic of Bibi Netanyahu and the anti-Jews than me. But we've become so obsessed with Israel, somehow we've convinced ourselves that the CCP in China isn't our enemy. I mean, are we that childish? We're like children. We're like 10-year-old children It's like, I can only focus on one enemy at a time. Oh, I don't like you today on the playground, and we're going to try and ostracize and isolate you on the playground because, you know, we're 10 years old, and we can't even keep up a sophisticated track on who we don't like or who doesn't like us. Grow up. Grow up. Yeah, there's way too much influence in our country from Israel. 1,000%. Anybody who denies it or says otherwise is a liar. Way too much influence. Way too much military and foreign policy dedicated to an outpost that we don't need to defend. But the way that you get off of Saudi oil, the way that you're not, let's say, hitting your pocketbook, the way you're not punched in the gut by what happens in the Straits of Hormuz is when you roll on down to Venezuela and you say, you know what? America has paid for the security guarantees of the entire Western Hemisphere for too long. The same way we told the Europeans it's time to start kicking in to NATO is the same way we're going to tell Venezuela and Colombia and Mexico and Canada and Greenland, it's time you start kicking in to the American bloc. Oh, the BRICS? Oh, the BRICS nations? You guys want to run it? You guys want to run it up? You guys want to get together and pool your natural resources to try and fight against the dollar? Okay. Okay, I like it. I like it. My pitch is we should pull off the entire Eastern Hemisphere. There, boom, there's your radical headline. Pull every man and woman off of the Eastern Hemisphere. Every last one of them. Down to the last soldier. Every piece of military equipment, pull it all off of the Eastern Hemisphere. The American bloc. You come on, travel on across that Atlantic Ocean or the Pacific, and we can throw down. Anytime, any place. And that goes from Canada all the way down to the very tip of South America. And how about we talk about Antarctica? Oh, wait, we can't even talk about Antarctica yet, right? Right? Because there's a global agreement that nobody's going to, you know, do any military exercises on the continent of Antarctica. Nobody wants to even go there. Say, whoa, it's Israel. Oh, yo, Chinese aren't our enemies. Oh, Antarctica, what about that? Maybe we should go on down there and start setting up military bases on the continent of Antarctica, too. Maybe we should just pull out of that treaty. I don't even know if there's a strategic purpose, if that would be strategically, advantageous for us. I'm just saying. You get my point. You get my point. There's the world of politics as it's being discussed in the conversation, in comment sections of social media, and then there's how the world is really going to be redrawn now. And you don't have to like it. You can complain all you want to. Take your complaints to the front door of somewhere where they actually matter. Get involved in the political process. I want to hear from you. I want to see you stand up at the convention. I want to see you at the congressional district conventions this campaign season. I want to see you at all the Republican Party conventions, because we know you're not going into the Democrat Party. Although there seems to be some agreement now on the fringes of the two political parties that really don't even exist anyway, because they don't represent what they say they represent. It's not that they don't exist. It's not that they're not actual entities, because they're actual entities. The point is they don't represent what they claim to represent. That's why the two parties no longer exist. Part of the reason they don't represent what they claim to represent is because the people who are in them aren't the people who actually believe in the values that they say on paper. Vis-a-vis Mitch McConnell, John Thune, Steve Daines. We could go right on down the list. Tim Scott. There's a neocon for you. Nikki Haley. And sure, you could say, hey, this feels just like Iraq. And in principle, intervention, regime change, a situation or conflict that looks like it could demand that we have sustained military involvement. I understand in principle, but if you don't acknowledge the importance of geographic location, you're playing 10 steps behind the globalists. Don't even use the word globalist. If you don't understand geographic location, you're not playing the same game as a globalist. You're not even in the same arena. They're in the arena playing the game. You're out in the parking lot jerking off. That's just the truth of it. You don't have to like me. I want you not. You know what? I want you not to like me. I don't care about being liked. I just tell people what they need to hear, like a good coach. You know how many basketball coaches I had? When you played for me, like, I don't like that guy. And then like 5 years after you're done playing for him, you move to the next grade or the next level. You go from high school to college. You think, man, he was right about everything he was trying to tell me. I was selfish. I was immature. I was too worried about scoring. Instead of being the best player I could possibly be to help the team win so I could have more opportunities to be seen by more coaches so that I could go to the next level. He knew better than I did. And I'm not trying to talk down to you and say that you don't know what's best for you or you don't know what's best for this country. I say it all the time. Give me the first 100 patriots with a MAGA hat versus the first 100 people to graduate from the next class at any given law school in this country every day of the week. Give me what they call the first white Christian rube hillbilly. Give me the first 100 of them over the first 100 lawyers to come out of the law school every day of the week. But real is real, and fake is fake, and viral is viral. Love is love. War is war. Death is death. And none of us are getting out of this alive. None of us. It's us and it's our forebears. It's the generations before us that allowed it to get this bad. There's no way to walk back. There's no way to walk down off of this cliff that isn't dangerous, that isn't going to call for us to sacrifice something. Even the comfortability of our own political positions and philosophies, we're going to have to sacrifice some of that in order to make it all the way back down off this cliff. We're going to have to give a piece of ourselves to make it back down off this cliff and save this republic. For me, as a no forever wars, non-interventionist, can't stand a regime change. We understand how it was used duplicitously over the last 40 years. Can't stand a regime change. Didn't like when they did it to Gaddafi. Didn't like the Saddam Hussein. The Afghanistan war now in retrospect is indefensible. You could go on and on down the list, even there in Somalia. Never forget, we pulled the regime change there in Somalia on multiple occasions. Most recently, I mean, you know, every couple of years most recently, but, you know, the inflection point was back in 93 when the Somali refugee immigration really started. So nobody is more against a regime change than I am. But I'm also against killing another person unless I'm staring down the barrel of a gun. And you have to be able to call these balls and strikes as an American citizen, or you can't call yourself a patriot. Yes, we would rather not have to get in a fight. We would rather not have to kill someone. We would rather not have to go to war. But if we have to, we have to. And if we have to, we're going to win. That's part of our DNA as Americans. We want the path of least resistance. We want to be able to do it, you know, the best way conceivable. But if you push us to the edge, we're going to play on the edge. You push us right up to the edge, we'll play right there on the edge. Well, we're on the edge now. We're on the edge looking over. Okay, you don't want a world that's dominated by oil and energy? An economy that's dominated by oil and energy? A society that's dominated by oil and energy? Then you go to the front steps of your congressmen and women and you demand that the deep state and the intelligence community and all the advanced research departments, the most deepest, blackest classified crevice of our military-industrial complex proliferate free energy which many people believe that they have. Never forget, the UAPs are still flying out there, and we don't have answers as to how it's happening, but we know that the energy used could potentially give humanity free energy. Well, you go to the front door of your representatives and demand that that technology be made public. And if you don't have the balls or the patience or the rigorous commitment to do that, shut your mouth. You take that oil with a smile. President Trump's helping you not have to get off your hands, sitting on your couch on your hands, commenting on social media. He's helping you not have to go stand out in the cold in front of your local representative's political campaign office and demand that they make public the free energy. Because you don't want to do that. And he knows you don't want to do that. I know you don't want to do that. Most importantly, you know you don't want to do that. You like the convenience. We all do. We like the prosperity. We like the baseline material wealth that technology has given us. We like things the way they are. We want them to be slightly different. Same, same, but a little different, as they say in martial arts. We want things to be slightly different. We need them to be slightly different. That's a part of our fundamental philosophy about this country and about the way that government and citizenship work. And we should demand that they're slightly different. But stop pretending you want them to be all the way different, because if you did, you probably wouldn't even be talking online. If we're just being honest, if you really wanted to go completely off the grid, you could. You don't want to. A lot of us don't want to. I'm here talking to you on Sunday evening. You know, this is like magic. I'm sitting here in a studio in Minneapolis, Minnesota, broadcasting to the entire InfoWars audience worldwide. This is a thing of magic. And we don't want to give over to technology. We don't want to be dumb to the rise of technology and dystopia and surveillance and techno-feudalism. But we still want to use it. You understand how tight, we have to thread this needle? You understand that it's our own spirit and will that makes this needle the finest needle to thread in the history of human civilization, because we like the benefits? It's like I said about the Somali community. The Somali community wants to yell tyranny when ICE comes and grabs somebody who's actually legal, mistakes them for illegal. But they take the subsidies of an overexpansive federal government. They like the federal government fat when they take those government subsidies. But then when the ICEs of the world rolled around, they want to say, oh, it's overreach, tyranny. You don't get one without the other. But it's the same for you at home. You don't get this type of pure constitutionalist, patriotic citizenship while you still take all the benefits of radical materialism. It just don't work like that. Grow up. Grow up. We rolled down there to take the oil, and guess what? The Canadians better be on watch, because they might be next. You better pick a side, Canada. Pick a side. We're telling you now, warning you now, pick a side. Greenland already threw up the, hey, we'll play. We get it. Hemispheric defense. We're with you guys. And a lot of those Venezuelans down there are doing the same thing. You got to be careful. Just because a man was overthrown and pulled out of his country and people are on the streets, that alone doesn't mean it was a good thing. On principle, that doesn't mean it was a good thing. But if you look at who Maduro was aligned with, it's diametrically opposed to the way that we believe the world and at least our society should be. Diametrically opposed. We do not. We will not. We should refuse to live as they do in North Korea or Iran or China or Venezuela. We wouldn't accept that. Maduro wasn't the rightful president down there in Venezuela. We all know that. He knows that. The whole world knows that. Right, wrong, or indifferent on any other number of issues, he was not the legitimate president down there. He went gangster. I'm the president because I say I am. and because I have enough military power to make it happen. He wasn't playing by the rules. And we're going to let the Chinese Communist Party roll on down there to Venezuela, a stone's throw from Southeast America, from the Southeast Corridor. We're going to let the CCP roll down there and play buddy with Maduro? Time to pack up. Time to pack up and go home. Or we'll roll down there and get the rest of the regime. I bet you that regime wants to play ball now. I bet you that regime. And here's the playbook. Here's how you know it'll be America first or not. If they don't start trading Venezuelan oil in U.S. dollars, then we start to question why we went down there. As soon as they go off RMB to the U.S. dollar trading oil and U.S. dollars instead of yuan, America first, baby. America first. Because the CCP isn't going to give us back the money that your political elites stole from you. Stole right from under your nose to build the Chinese empire that exists today, the neo-colonial Chinese empire today. And people go, oh, well, they seem to have it down pat because they don't have to fire any, they don't have to, you know, shoot any bullets in order to colonize anything. Yeah. Yeah, they're using a higher form of radical materialism. They're doing to us what we did to the rest of the world. They're saying to the rest of the world and to us, you want to play Marxism? You want to reduce everything down to price? We will win the game of price. And we will win through tyranny or slavery or authoritarianism or surveillance or biological war or whatever else we need to do in order to win. But we will win the game of price, the war of price. There is nothing more Marxist, communist, or satanic than to reduce the human existence down to price. But the problem is, in the West, we did the same thing. We called it free market capitalism. We said, we'll reduce the human existence down to price. And when you do that without righteousness, all of a sudden, somebody sneaks up on you who has a lot less sacred honor, and they stick a blade right in your back. And that was us going to China. Oh, it's going to be great. They have an incredible workforce we can use. We can use their workforce to become a booming place of manufacturing and reduce the prices for American companies and reduce the cost for consumers. And before you knew it, a Chinese regime stood up there and said, you really think we're going to keep taking pennies on the dollar? Uh-uh. Time for us to get the cream on top. That's where we are now. We're in a war, asymmetrical war. Three poles of influence, the Americas, Europe, and Asia. We don't need the oil. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. We're tapping more American oil than ever, but the crude we need. And right now, or before yesterday, 50% of the crude was coming from Canada. Way too much power. We got to annex them next. Unless you guys want to start riding horses. And I'm not against it. Let's do it. But if we're going to do it, let's do it. I'm Royce White. I'm here in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. You're watching Alex Jones, The Alex Jones Show, here on InfoWars, Sunday Night Live. Stay tuned. We'll be right back in a moment.
Harrison, I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug the Irish Sea Moss was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of like thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning. Hmm. All that stopped with the sea moss because it's a thyroid issue, and the sea moss has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The methylene blue, life changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. Like, it's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I love his supplement formulas. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together, and they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taking, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good. I love the greens powder. That I've tried every different type of greens powder out there, and nothing has had as much stuff, amazing stuff packed into it, as it has like a decent flavor to it. So the Optimal Human is like a daily staple.
It's
for
good,
me.
Right?
Absolutely, 100%. Yeah. And, okay. And I'm not saying that because just for you guys, but seriously, I've tried so many greens powders over the years, and it really is the best.
And are we paying you, Katie? Did we pay you to call in?
I would love to work for you. I swear, Alex Jones picture is on like my mantle with all of my family pictures.
That's
like,
amazing.
We love Alex.
Some people call in, this person, you're paying them. But like, no, but our products really are good. People really like them. It's true.
Well, I accredited him to like the life-changing experience I had when I decided to leave California because I didn't want to bash Trump. And I listened to Jones when I found him. And I'm like, I got to get the hell out of here.
Right.
And so I moved back home to Ohio. And 3 months later, I met my husband. I feel like that life-changing event for me was because of listening to all the information that he gives. He's not like predicting the future. He's just giving you the information that's hard to find, where they're telling you what they're going to do.
Yeah. Well, now you have a 3-year-old kid, so your life's going great.
Yes.
I've said it before, but with a lot of these products, like, you really don't know what it's going to do for you because you might not know that you're lacking a vitamin or lacking a mineral. And it like happens all the time with iodine. Iodine is one of those things where like, as soon as you start taking it, you're like, oh, I'm not supposed to, and I'm not a doctor, it's not a medical claim, but people experience this. I've heard it from my friends where they're like, I'm not supposed to be tired all the time. I apparently just was lacking iodine. And it's like, you don't know if you're going to feel more energetic, if you're going to sleep better, if you're not going to have chills anymore. It's like people sort of go around thinking that that's the way their body is, but it's like, no, you're missing a key component. You're missing a vitamin, you're missing a mineral, and you don't even realize it until you start taking something from the Alex Jones store. So I completely understand that you start taking the Irish sea moss and suddenly something that you thought was just the way your body is. Nope, turns out you can fix it. You can fix these things. Again, I'm not making medical claims, but you can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Thank you for the plug, Katie.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show here on Sunday Night Live, InfoWars. I'm your host, our Morris White, in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. You know, Monroe Doctrine, I don't understand what's so hard to understand. I don't understand what's so hard to understand. That's the best way I could put it. I don't get what's so hard for everybody to understand. Monroe Doctrine. Everybody else is playing it. Russia's played it. That was the impetus for the invasion of Ukraine, the recent invasion of Ukraine. There's Monroe Doctrine. China, right on the edge of going and taking Taiwan. Why do you think they want Taiwan? Because Taiwan's such a pretty country? No, because it's in their backyard and they don't like Western influence that close to their border. That's why. It's real simple, guys. The question is, are you ready to play the same game? And I asked Thomas Massey again, and again, I like Thomas Massey. I like a lot of things he has to say. I love his little debt clock. I want one. Please, Congressman Massey, if you can, send me one of those debt clocks. I love it. It's perfect. But I have to ask, and I said this at the beginning of the show, why would we, the American people, wait for a Congress that you say is over 95% captured by special interests and lobbies to approve or vote for military action to defend or save this republic? Sir, can anybody out there answer that question? Anybody in this sort of libertarian, you know, wing of the movement? Somebody answer that question. Why would we wait for a Congress that you all say is captured by AIPAC? I'll wait. I'm just waiting for the comments to appear on X to generate here. Somebody out there, one of these detractors, tell me how you square it. The entire United States Congress, with the exception of a few, a handful, is captured by special interests and lobby money. Why would our commander-in-chief wait for traitors to approve military action against the very people who probably paid them off? On that alone, I support the action. On the fact that I know the United States Congress is captured, that's why I'm running for United States Senate. And you all know the United States Senate is captured. And that's the gaffe of this whole deal. We know that these people are captured. But yet you want to sit around and wait for them to approve saving this country? You really think that's going to happen? Or you think there'll be just enough of a vote or a majority on either side to get absolutely nothing consequential done? Because that's what's happening right now in the U.S. Senate. Furthermore, for all my constitutionalists, that's what's happening with the judiciary. The real crisis of our Constitution is not rolling down there to pick up Maduro like we did Noriega back in the 80s. The real crisis of our Constitution is that the courts were planted by globalists, and you all know it. But let's wait and see the outcome of the President Trump indictment. Let's wait and see how the legal process goes with the President Trump indictment there in New York City. Rule of law, rule of law, rule of law. It's a rule of law. There is no rule of law when your lawmakers are corrupt, bought and paid for traitors. I had the executive director of the Ron Paul Institute call me a neocon. It's like calling a wolf a ladybug. Ain't nothing neocon about me, but I am willing to stand up for this country, and I'm certainly not a pacifist. And I do understand that although we have these highbrow intellectual ideas about the Constitution and about our libertarian values, I do understand that you all still want to drive your cars and you want your electricity. You want your iPhones. You want the cobalt from the Congo. You don't have to say it. We know by how much time you spend on your iPhone. Go ahead and look at the metrics for how much time people spend on their iPhone. That tells me you want the cobalt from the Congo. Well, there's another place with a lot of good rare earth minerals right down there in Venezuela. And bring up a map if you can there in the studio. I want to show people, because I think what tells me we're far behind the Chinese. You ever see one of those young Chinese kids play the game Go? They're spatial geniuses. And I think we're spatially retarded, some of us. We have spatial retardation, and that's not by accident. I don't know if it's what they're putting in the statins, or I don't know if it's what they're teaching you with the gender queer theory in the public schools. I don't know if it's the blue light coming from the screen itself. I don't know, but the Chinese kids are way ahead of us. They got cell phones with blue light. Hell, their blue light is probably cheaper and less regulated than ours is. But we have like a spatial retardation. Can you circle Venezuela, please, on this map? Can you bring the map up and can you circle Venezuela for me and just show people how close it is to America? If you think, and maybe you have this idea of the map as being flat, but I tell you that the Middle East and Iraq, Afghanistan is much further from us than you think by looking at it on a map. Much, much further. Venezuela, right there. People, right there. I mean, it's in our backyard. If Puerto Rico is a district or a territory of America, Venezuela could be too, by geographic location. Now, with all that being said, time will tell. You know, if they start saying that we have to, be in Venezuela for 20 years with unlimited, spending and with no return on investment. Remember, we went to Iraq and your buddy George Bush and his cronies were the ones who took the profits. We went to Afghanistan and somehow China becomes the number one producer of fentanyl. And everybody knows you need poppy in order to, produce opioids. And, we must have missed that whole play, where Afghanistan went from being 3% of the world's poppy production to 93% of the world's poppy production. And all of a sudden, America goes further into debt, but we get an opioid crisis. How do you think that worked? Do they have an opioid crisis there in China? Not the last time I checked. They have a mass suicide crisis there in China. People jumping out of Foxconn because the work conditions are so bad. Because the CCP is telling companies, if you're going to force your employees into slave-like conditions for the betterment of this country, we support you. We support you with the full force of the People's Republic of China. Here in America, we want to wait for Hakeem Jeffries and Speaker Mike Johnson to approve military action. Really? Even if they do you think it's going to benefit this nation? The real constitutional crisis is not going down there to Venezuela. The real constitutional crisis is in the courts, and we all know it. But we want to dance around that. You know, in the conservative movement, we have to dance around that because the rule of law is such a pillar of the conservative movement and platform and worldview, political philosophy. It's such a pillar, the rule of law, it's hard for us to even confront that the law itself is so hollowed out and rotted with special interests and lobby money and political vendetta and lawfare. And just an overall evil spirit and wickedness and disdain for American citizens and American citizens' rights. We are so unwilling to confront that. We would much rather scream at the top of a mountain that Venezuela must maintain its sovereignty. Really? I just think you're soft. Matter of fact, let's go a step further. I know you're soft. I know you're soft. You talk about war, but I don't think you're willing to do what it takes to win. I'm just being honest with you. There are limits to what we should do in Venezuela. There are limits to what we should do, even within the scope of hemispheric strategy. I'm not saying unlimited. I'm not saying we're going to rebrand the globalist agenda in a worldwide foreign policy to a hemispheric foreign policy. The problem with our foreign policy worldwide was, yes, we're stretched too thin, but secondly, it wasn't to your benefit. Learn to take the benefits when they knock on your door. Don't be so nihilistic and cynical that you won't even take the benefits. It's like they say about Christianity and Christians. You ask God for, to save you, and he sent a boat, and then he sent a life raft, and then he sent, whatever else, and you're still there praying, thinking that God's just going to miraculously save you. You missed the miracle. The miracle is a man who now sits in the White House was centimeters away from getting his head blown off, and he has the balls to roll down to Venezuela and say, we're taking, that's the situation we're in. And it's not the situation we chose, it's the situation we were given. And you better be tough enough to deal with that. Or you're not tough enough to lead. You're not tough enough to win. See, there are players, there are athletes who are nice. There are athletes who are nice. And sometimes they can win. Sometimes the circumstances of the game allows the nice athlete to come out victorious. But sometimes the game gets so tough and gritty and physical, and the line of the rules gets pushed further and further by the intensity of the competition, that the nice guy can't win. And I think Thomas Massie is a very nice guy. I really do. Very fine gentleman. Same with Rand Paul. Remember the guy attacked Rand Paul there in D.C.? Can you imagine? Can you imagine me getting elected to the United States Senate and showing up with bruises and marks on my face because a random critic, political sycophant, charged me and attacked me and physically beat me up? Could you imagine that happening? I would smack that person's head clean off of their shoulders. The only story would be Royce was smacking his head off of his shoulders right there on the Capitol steps or at the little residence or whatever. They get you a place, a beautiful place to live in D.C., paid for by the American taxpayer. I think there shouldn't even be salaries if they can't balance a budget. If we can't get a budget balanced, nobody's getting paid. Your volunteer work until the budget gets balanced. Let's see who puts that bill forward, and let's see how many people sign it. You want to talk about America First? Let's put that bill forward next, John Thune, Speaker Mike Johnson. Nobody gets paid until the budget is balanced, or there's even a remote projection that the budget could be balanced in the near future. Nobody's getting paid until we see that the budget is on track to being balanced. Salary cap. Y'all don't want that. You don't want that. We're not really ready for that. We still like the theater. We're getting fed up. We're right there on the edge of being fed up, but we're not yet. We're just not there yet. To trust me, when we're there, when people are really fed up, there ain't going to be much more talking. This will all be looked at academically as the buildup to when people actually were fed the F up. We're not fed up yet. But I'll tell you one person who's playing like they're fed up. That would be President Trump. President Trump saying, oh, you guys think you're going to run some counter-dollar BRICS initiative on us? Really? You're going to pull your natural resources and we're going to pretend like we don't see that as an act of war? That's an act of war. If we are living in a society based on energy and natural resources, the importance of strategic geographic location, back to Mackinder's island theory, Mackinder's land theory, the geographical pivot of history. He who controls the heartland controls Eastern Europe. He who controls Eastern Europe controls the heartland. He who controls the heartland controls the Afro-Eurasian world island and the 50% of the world's resources that are located there. In order to maintain dominance militarily, economically, you need to be able to walk to the resources that are essential to your empire. Now, we can't quite walk to Venezuela. We could. We can't quite walk there, but it's a short trip. It's a real short trip. We could walk to Canada. Oh, and that's why I say, Canada, you better be picking a side here. And I believe they will. I believe the Canadians will choose the right side. But you better be picking a side, because we'll roll right up there next. We're not going to be the last ones off the bench in this brawl. To go back to my sports analogy from before, we love the Constitution. We're trying to defend the Constitution, but our enemies will not play by the rules. And when that pitcher throws that pitch high and inside, and even if it grazes me, it doesn't have to hit me. Even if it grazes me, I'm coming out to that mound, and we're going to have a conversation. Matter of fact, we probably won't even have a conversation. I'm just going to get to throwing punches. And the rule is in baseball, and you see this in the major leagues, you're talking about people who get paid very, very well to play a game that, least I say, of all professional sports is very easy on the body. That's why baseball players tend to play so long. In the major leagues, when the batter decides he's had enough of the pitcher's aggression and he goes to charge that mound, those dugouts are getting emptied. and you better not be the last one out of your team's dugout. Just understand that analogy if you can. If you never play sports, you probably don't. But if I'm in that dugout and we're right there up on that fence and I got the bubble gum or the chew or whatever the case may be, maybe I'm getting my helmet ready and my bat and I'm getting ready to get up on deck or wherever I'm at. When my man goes to rush that mound, I will not be the last one to be out of that dugout. Will not refuse to be the last one out of the dugout when the dugout's clear. You ask yourself as a citizen right now, are you going to be one of the first ones out of the dugout or the last? Because we're in a war. And if you don't think we're in a war, I don't think you're serious. We can debate. We can argue on the margins. I have no problem with that. We can discuss this as much as people want, and I'm willing to. We got a town hall here on Wednesday in Wayzata Middle School. If you're out there in Minnesota, come on to Wayzata Middle School, 7 p.m. Open forum. You want to debate foreign policy? Please, be my guest. I look forward to it. I honestly do. But we cannot be the last ones out of the dugout. We need to be first. We need to be trying to be first out of the dugout. First. First, second, third, not 14th. The last man out of the dugout should be the old sage third base coach who doesn't even third base coach anymore. He's just a part of the team because he's been there for 30 years and his name is old Ben, old coach Ben. And we just like Ben and he's staying around because he's a part of the legacy of the franchise. And he whispers little nuggets of wisdom to the players as a sort of a philosopher coach. He's a legacy piece. He's the last one out of the dugout. Let me go back to look at that film and see that old Ben waddled out onto that field before you young Lions, and I tell you what, we might be going 5 minutes back there in the locker room ourselves. And it's just about a grit and a toughness, a willingness. Let's call it a willingness to do what's necessary to win. Doing what's necessary to win is not dying on a battlefield in the Bloodlands. Doing what's necessary to win is not dying on a battlefield there for the Temple Mount in the Middle East or anywhere else in the Middle East for that matter. That's not doing what's necessary. That's not willingness to win. But willingness to win is our neighborhood is our neighborhood. We're going to defend our neighborhood. Venezuela, if you pull that map up again when you can there in the studio, Venezuela in our backyard, literally. If you don't understand the significance of geographic location, you might be spatially retarded. And you're never going to defeat the Chinese kid who's a master at Go. Go watch those Chinese kids. Can you bring up footage of the Chinese kids playing Go there in China? It's like chess, but it's on steroids. And it's all spatial. It's all spatial genius. It's measures and countermeasures and being steps ahead. But it's like chess, but expanded. In the West, we play chess. In the East, they play Go. And that's why China is confident that there's so many steps ahead of us. They're not so interested in the kinetic warfare. But they'll resort to it if they have to. And right now, the Chinese economy is unstable itself. And this move here in Venezuela furthers the instability of the Chinese Communist Party. Just categorically, there is no ifs, ands, or buts. It's not a debate. It's not a debate. Because China knows they need oil. Everybody who's living in reality knows that the way things are currently set up, you need oil, you need energy. Now, you want to start a protest, like I said, you want to start a protest for the deep state and the intelligence community to make public the technology? Look at that. Look at the Chinese kids play Go. It's just a fascinating how good they are. But if you want to win, we have to have the energy. We have to put a dent in this debt. We have to shore up and fortify our backyard. Be my guest. Show up to the Capitol steps and demand that they make public and proliferate, secret technologies that would make energy, close to free for everybody. That would help. The problem with that is nobody, they may have it, nobody wants to be the first one to let it go, because if it's more dangerous for their enemies to get it than it is to be stuck on the petrodollar. At least that's what they say. At least that's what they say. I don't know how much I even believe that, but I understand the concept. If there genuinely is free renewable energy, technology that could give us free renewable energy, who knows where, we may be going kinetic quicker than we anticipate. The reverse or flip side of that coin of argument is, if they did that, there'd be no need for war, because most wars are about energy. And we understand that. I get it. But you can't put the chicken before the egg or the cart before the horse. You have to deal with things the way that they are. Right now, we don't have that option as citizens. We have to play the game and deal with politics the way that they actually are, not the way that we wish they were. The way they are, you're going to go out to your car and you're going to start that car, and it needs oil. It needs gasoline. More importantly, the electric company that feeds electricity to your house, it needs oil. It needs gasoline and energy. The food you eat, the AI data centers we're now building because we're in an arms race with the CCP, they're going to need energy. And I guarantee you wind and solar ain't going to cut it. So that's where we are. That's just where we are. No equivalency between Iraq and Venezuela. To even think it, to even say it, is a concession to the globalist geopolitical framework that all military action is on an equal footing. No, it's not. The whole world is not our problem. Our problem is our country and our backyard. Take Venezuela's oil. No money for Ukraine. No war with Iran. But Venezuelan oil we'll take. And you Canadians better pick a side. That goes for the rest of the Western Hemisphere as well. It's been a great Sunday evening. I enjoyed being here with you. Thank you, Alex Jones, for allowing me to host again from the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. My name is Royce White. God bless you. God bless America. Godspeed. Hopefully I'll see you again next Sunday night. I really enjoy it. Reach out to me on social media. I had a blast. See you next time.
If you ask Grok, or if you ask a sports nutritionist, or if you ask the nutritionists on the Olympic teams, they will tell you that creatine is absolutely a must. TheAlexJonesStore.com already has the very best creatine you can get on the market. Now we're introducing this, and I am extremely excited. Let me introduce you to this bad boy that comes in two delicious flavors. That is the recommended daily allowance of the highest quality type of creatine. Right there. Concentrated, the very best. We get it from the top lab in the country, the highest rating. 5 milligrams of this a day. Most people think creatine is just about better muscle, healthier, more stamina. It's been proven. It's been documented. I'll show you what Grok had to say about it here in just a moment. But the first thing you need to understand is that it's not just making your muscles better or your body be able to do more exercise. It's doing all these incredible things for your brain and everything else. And that's really more and more what scientists are saying people should focus on with creatine. And just since I've been taking creatine for the last few months, it has had dramatic effects on my clarity, my focus, my energy, especially when used with ultramethylene blue. Again, everybody knows about muscle and performance, or most people do, but what are the other benefits? Grok says secondary emerging benefits, improves anaerobic capacity and power output, may increase glycogen storage in muscles when combined with carbs. Potential brain benefits, improves cognitive performance under sleep deprivation or mental fatigue. Possible neuroprotective effects being studied in traumatic brain injury, Parkinson's, depression, etc. May benefit vegetarians and others who have a lower level of creatine in their diet. Who benefits the most? Older adults, strength and power, people with low dietary creatine. It goes on and on. Bottom line, if you're not taking creatine, you're crazy, and we've got the best.